is like a farmer who sows good seed in his field, or like a treasure that is buried in a field, or it's like a mustard seed. Then there were the sermons that he preached in Jerusalem during the great festivals, proclaiming, "I am the bread of the life. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world." Or simply, "I am he." And we shouldn't forget the sermon he preached to his disciples in that upper room the weekend of the Passover after washing their feet. Remember the sermon. "I've set for you an example," he said, "that you should do as I have done for you." And Jesus preached many sermons, and whenever he preached, he imparted the life of heaven to all those who were willing to listen. And there, on that Good Friday, we hear Jesus preaching his last sermon. Last sermon of his earthly ministry, at least. And today I want to invite you to sit under the weight and the authority of Jesus' final sermon. Jesus' last sermon, I will have you know, was preached not from a wooden pulpit, but from a wooden cross. And it was the last words that he ever spoke the day that he died. Well, more accurately, it was the last word he ever spoke. Because Jesus' final sermon was simply one word. It's the Greek word, tetelestai. And of all the many words that can go into a sermon, and I put lots of words in them, of all the words that can go into a sermon, of all the words that can be used to explain the good news, of all the words that can be used to describe God's love and his rescue, of all the words that can be used to proclaim the gospel, Jesus' final word says it all. Tetelestai. On that day, Jesus hung from a Roman cross. The innocent one took his place between two common criminals. They hung a sign above his head as a form of mockery. They tore his clothes. They cast lots for them. They tore his flesh. They placed a crown of thorns on his head. And Jesus was thirsty, and so he asked for a drink. And in that moment, a soldier soaks a sponge in wine vinegar and holds it on a staff up to Jesus' lips so he can drink. And it was in this moment that Jesus leaned into his wooden pulpit and preached his final sermon. John 19:30. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "Tetelestai." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The one word that says it all. The gospel in a word. God's love and rescue in a word. In English, it means it is finished. Or simply finished. And I think this very well could have been Jesus' most powerful sermon when you think about it. Even more powerful than when Jesus preached to over 5,000 hungry people who actually went away filled with food. One final word with his last breath would say it all. Finished. Now, of course, to know the full weight and glory of his message, we have to ask the question, what is finished? Right? What did Jesus complete in that moment he drew his final breath? What is finished? Well, first, the Son of God finished the work of glorifying his Father. In John 17, Jesus is praying to his heavenly Father, and Jesus prays, "Father, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do." On the cross, Jesus finished the work of revealing God's glory to us. That's what the cross is about. It's about God's glory revealed to us, his character, his person, his love, his holiness. If we are to understand Good Friday correctly, we cannot miss this. We simply cannot miss it. And sometimes we do. For us Christians, we know that Good Friday is good because it's the day that Jesus died for our sins. And of course it is that. But first and foremost, we should know that it is the day where Jesus most clearly and completely revealed to the world who God truly is. Because it's on the cross where we're given this picture of God's ceaseless, his limitless, his self-giving love that is poured out in a way that we will never see equal this side of heaven. You see, everything Jesus had said and done in his life had led up to this moment. Right? Every sermon preached and every person who was healed and every religious hypocrite who was silenced, every miracle he performed, they were all leading to something, to this moment, the revealing of God and his kingdom to the watching world. And it's here on the cross where Jesus declares, "It is finished. Now you have seen God. Now you have seen his love, you've seen his mercy, you've seen his justice, you've seen his power, his wisdom, you've seen the way of life in his kingdom. It's all on display. Tetelestai. Jesus finished the work of glorifying God the Father. And if we miss that, we miss Good Friday altogether. Because Jesus came to reveal the Father. Yes, he came to rescue us, but he came to reveal his Father to us. But Jesus, he was finishing more than something on God's behalf, right? He was also finishing things on our behalf. He was finishing the work that we are simply unable to finish ourselves. And I can count at least five things. First, he put an end to the guilt of our own sin. The Apostle Paul explains, he says, "When you were dead in your sins, God made you alive in Christ. He forgave all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross." The truth about our human frailty is one that we don't like to admit. And the truth of our human frailty is that we are morally imperfect. We're morally imperfect. We violate the laws of God's goodness. We sin. We sin against God, but we also sin against one another. And then we spend a good deal of our lives trying to convince ourselves and other people that it's not a big deal, that it doesn't matter all that much, that we haven't really caused any harm. But Paul reminds us that in our sin, we are dead and we are condemned. And we're marked by guilt, and we carry this indebtedness to the God of all goodness, to the author of life, because we've turned our back on him and his way. And look, it's a debt that we are unable to pay back, try as we might. We're in it too deep. And so it's most appropriate on a day like this, a day like today, to look at our guilt square in the face and to be honest about all the times that we've chosen darkness over light. When we've chosen to serve ourselves rather than God or others. To look square in the face the times when we've lied instead of being honest or gossiped instead of blessed. When we perverted what's holy instead of protecting, honoring, cherishing it. And in all of this, if we're honest enough, we can see the kind of harm that it's caused to ourselves, to other people, to our relationship with God. And look, the only reason we can face the guilt of our sin without being buried underneath it is the fact that the crucified Lord Jesus from the cross declared his gospel over you. It's finished. Your sins are forgiven. They've been nailed to the cross. Amen? And Jesus has finished this for us, our guilt. But Jesus has finished more than that. He's finished our captivity to sin itself. We aren't simply forgiven from sin. We're actually rescued from sin's curse because we're bound to it in a way. We're held captive by it. You see, without Jesus, we're tied up in sin's curse. We're held captive by it. You could think of the person who struggles with an addiction to pornography. Or the person who's like holding on to this grudge and they're adamant. They simply will not forgive the person who's wronged them. We get stuck in our sin, don't we? We need God to rescue us from it. But there are other times when we get tied up by the sins of others. Right? It might not be something we've done. It might be something that has been done to us, something harmful. I remember years ago speaking with a young adult who was sharing with me about a relationship she had with her dad and things that had taken place, and he wasn't kind. He wasn't good to her. And she said, "Keith, I'm so angry with my dad, and I've forgiven him, but it's like there's this thing there that I don't know how to get past. And I know that it's the reason I can't move forward in my life. I know it's why I'm unhappy." And I think she was talking about sin's curse. Not so much about the curse of her own sin, but the curse of the sin she felt because of the sins of her father. See, sin holds us captive. And sometimes it's ours, but sometimes it's the sin of another person. It binds us up. It keeps us from God's wholeness, his goodness, his flourishing. It keeps us from life. But when Jesus was nailed to the cross, when he died, he put an end to our captivity. He paid the price to set us free. This is what Mark's gospel says in Mark 10. It says, "For even the Son of Man," for even Jesus, "didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And it's that word ransom that's important. It's the Greek word lutron. And it literally means paying the price to release you from captivity. The crucified Jesus on the cross preaches his gospel. It is finished. The debt has been paid, and you are no longer bound to your sin. You are free. It's the second thing. The third thing Jesus finishes is our separation from God. Matthew's gospel tells us that at that very moment, when Jesus preaches his final sermon from the cross in the temple curtain is torn in two. Right, do you know about the temple curtain? It was in the heart of the temple in Jerusalem, which, if you know the temple, it was a number of courtyards separated by these walls. And so there was like this outer courtyard, which was the courtyard of the Gentiles. And there was a wall, and you had to pass through it to get to where the people of Israel were, right? And the idea was that the further you go into the temple, the more you go from the unholy to the holy. And so it goes from the Gentiles to the people of Israel. And then there's another wall which was called the holy place, which was the place where the priests would go. And then there was another place called the Holy of Holies in the very center. And it's where only one single priest could go once a year after this like elaborate purification offering ritual was done for the atonement of sins. And this holy place was believed to be like heaven on earth, the place where the holy God dwelt upon the earth. And it was separated from the other holy place by a curtain. Not a wall, but a curtain. Huge, 60 foot high, 30 foot wide, 12 inch thick curtain. It separated the holy God from unholy people. And as Jesus preached with his final breath, the curtain was torn apart. Do you see what is finished, church? The separation is finished. Because Jesus has paid the price of our sin, us unholy people have been reconciled to a holy God. The door has been opened. Hallelujah. It is finished. And there are two more things that are finished. Evil's reign is finished. The evil one is finished. He has been disarmed, dismantled, and decapitated. Make no mistake about it, there is an evil one who seeks to destroy all that is good and holy. There is such a thing as evil with a capital E, a personality looking for someone to devour, an accuser who loves to hold God's people in the clutches of darkness, to hold all people there. But Hebrews 2 says, he, Jesus, he shared in our humanity so that by his death, get this, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear to death. Do you hear what is finished? The power of the evil one's rule and reign in people and on our earth has been defeated. It's finished. But we often ask, well, if evil has been finished, why is there so much evil in our world? And it's been explained to me like this, that Jesus' victory is like cutting the head off a snake. Right? When you cut a head off a snake, you might not know this, and that's a good thing because you probably haven't had to kill a snake. But when you do, the snake will thrash for hours after being killed. It's dead, but it just doesn't know it yet. And on the cross, Jesus crushed the head of Satan. And he will do his best to thrash with every ounce of his dying power. But make no mistake about it, Jesus has won the victory. And he did it on the cross. Which means that no power of hell and no scheme of man could ever pluck you from his hand. And it means no weapon formed against you will ever prevail for those who are in Christ Jesus. And it means in Jesus' name, all oppression will cease. The evils of men and the evils of the devil are on their way out. They've had their day. It is finished. It is finished. And it's here in Hebrews 2 that we hear about the last thing to be finished. And it's the finality of our death, right? The power of death. Hebrews says Jesus doesn't just break the power of evil, but he breaks the power of death itself and the fear we have of it. Look, Easter Sunday is the proof, but Good Friday is where this rescue is purchased. On the cross, the unthinkable happens. Through his death, Jesus conquers death. It is finished. The power and the finality of death has been finished. And church, let us sit under the power and authority of Jesus' one-word sermon. Look at all that's been finished. What has been finished? Jesus has finished the work of glorifying the Father. He's finished our guilt. He's finished our captivity. He's finished our separation. He's finished evil. He's finished death. And right now, the crucified one is inviting all of us to receive the gift of grace for all that he has done. And so I wonder, are you carrying guilt today? Maybe you are. Don't run from it. Don't hide it. Confess it to Jesus in this moment. It's what he came for. It is finished. Do you feel captive to your sin? Maybe it's your own, or maybe it's the sin of some other person. Jesus wants to bring a measure of healing to your life. You don't need to be buried in shame. Just even in this moment, name what you're captive to. And look to the cross. Because Jesus has finished it for you. Or do you feel lonely, isolated, like God doesn't love you, separated from him? Come to the cross, because it's here where we see the profound love of God. His arms are stretched open to embrace you in. We're no longer separated. It is finished. Are you living under an oppressive force of evil? Whether that's the evil one's hand or maybe just an evil working in your home or in your workplace. Or maybe it's even the evils that have you tied to your social media feed. Yeah. Jesus wants to break the power. Come to the foot of Jesus and see what he does to evil. Crushes its head. He did this for you. Evil is finished. Are you here living in the fear of death? Wrapped up, bound by it. Look to the cross. Jesus took on our death so that we would be raised to life with him. Come to Jesus. Come to the cross. He did this for you. It is finished. The glory of God's been revealed. And church, I don't know how Jesus wants to conclude his most powerful sermon, but I trust he will this morning through his Holy Spirit. And so as a way of responding, in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come and receive the bread and the cup. To receive this communion meal. It's a meal that we share to remember what Jesus has finished, what he has done. And today we're going to do it a little bit different. There's actually no one there to serve you. Well, we trust that Jesus is there as host through his Holy Spirit. This is his meal, by the way. As you come forward, you're going to take the elements, a piece of bread, and there's a cup of juice. You can dip the bread in the juice. And the bread represents Jesus' body, which is given for us on the cross. And his blood represents his blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins and all that he has accomplished. And so you can come and take the bread, dip it in the cup, and then bring it back to your seat and reflect. And when you're ready, you can receive the elements. Pray the prayer of receiving Jesus. And let him finish whatever needs to be finished in your life. The middle station here is a gluten-free station, and so if you need that, you can come to this station. But we have two here, two up top. And if you have a hard time moving around, at the very end, I'll come around with a basket, and I'd be happy to serve you. Just put up your hand once the lines have died out. So would you come? Receive the gift of grace. Come to the cross. Come to Christ.